shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we, in the name of Jesus, come to you and trust that you hear our prayer and answer this morning, that we desire truth in the inner man, even as we've had it given to us and vindicated, that it is for the inner man, but lies there before us, and now it must come into that inner man and be ingested, and even Brother Branham going further to say, feed the Christ within you, telling us how it is done, even as the wife feeds the husband what he provides for her. So it is we have this relationship of word, and more word, Lord. And may it be that all of our thoughts come under dominion of the truth of that word, and all of our actions, Lord, stem from that word, and so that we have a life which is truly the word, and a slightly leaning toward that which is commensurate for having missed the word body. We know Brother Branham said it makes up for it, but that's according then, Lord, to this time and this hour and place. But we're looking beyond to the place of perfection, which by your grace we do not hope to attain it by our own works, but by your calling us through grace and causing us to approach and being partaker in this fellowship. So help our studies this morning. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're in this this message that Brother Branham preached, the seed of discrepancy, which was preached in Arizona, the second message in 1965. And, of course, as we look at the word discrepancy and note that it is a seed, therefore, you have to understand that if it's a seed of discrepancy, it's the same as a seed of wheat, which means that in due time wheat will come forth, or in due time discrepancy will come forth. So there's a the seed of discrepancy would have to go back all the way to the Garden of Eden, where we know that in this particular place, which was God's government set upon earth, and his two legates were there to control, we find that something happened by way of a perversion of the word, and therefore a positive setting aside of by interference with the truth. And so Brother Brown is speaking of that. He'll outline a message for this end time, showing how that the word of the Lord has been perverted, and it is bringing forth a perverted product, because you can only bring forth what is in the product. The tragic thing is that you could have a perfect genetic pattern, and then the processes of production, or the actual substance which would be required to give that genetic pattern a body, something could be missing, and in missing, you have the product very much in a problem, and it would be definitely inferior to what would come forth under the proper conditions with the proper nutrients. Well, if you just put that into a figure now and go back to the Garden of Eden, you're going to come up and say, well, bless God, there's only one thing, and that's the millennium. And you'd be perfectly right. You'd be perfectly right. Because at that particular time, there is no discrepancy. And remember, that word discrepancy comes from a French word, also a Latin word, but I think it comes from the French to begin with. Means to dis, which is against, and then there's this chatter. Well, you know that chatter is not legitimate and true direction. Chatter can even refer to when you apply the clutch or the brakes and begins chattering. So, oh God, I'm in for trouble. And any time there is any chatter or voices within the air that are not actually explicit and proven to be so through vindication, when vindication is required, it's going to go into a chatter. It's going to be a malfunction. So Brother Branham is talking about the seed of discrepancy, and you notice that he goes to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And later on, he tells us here, we'll find the things I said last night, that this parable that he is taking and preaching at that time was actually given by Jesus 2,000 years ago. But the application is for this hour, because this hour alone is the end of the world and the harvesting. So Brother Branham realizes, as we brought out last night, that this is the Alpha, the Omega of the Alpha, which takes place in Matthew 12. Because Matthew 13 is not a separate chapter. You remember, the Bible is not written in chapters and verses. It's my understanding that a Roman Catholic priest in France was having problems with continually finding his place where he was reading, and he realized that if you made it into chapters and verses, you could find your place easier, and you could get thoughts quicker and better. And so we find the Bible not really tampered with, but it has been put in verses, and actually some of the versification does not line with the real truth of the Bible. But you don't need to worry about it, because having the Spirit of God, you read the Scripture, and it just comes to you as literally the truth. So I went back to Matthew 12 in order to show that the very ministry of Jesus, that's the ministry that God performed through him when Jesus was here in flesh, or God was here in flesh, in the flesh of Jesus, would repeat to the Gentiles in the last age. This repetition would be identical to the original, which is, there would be a great controversy over the ministry. Was that ministry of God, or was it of the devil? Well, was it scriptural, or was it not? And so the controversy devolved into not just a fight, but to blasphemy. And they said, well, look, this is not God doing this. This is the devil doing this. And Brother Branham brings out that from Scripture, that was forgiven, because he was there as the Son of Man working salvation. But when God comes down to earth in the form of the Holy Spirit and does the same works over again and in greater magnitude, for anybody to call it of the devil immediately, that's the unforgivable sin. There's no use trying to repent. It's all over. The hardness sets in, and you simply stay with that understanding that is the devil. Now, that's where the Church of Christ is. And that sounds very terrible. But could you believe that a church that talked about salvation, and of course they deny the Holy Spirit, he was given and that's the end of it, and now they turn the works of God over to the devil, you can tell that the whole church has blasphemed. But that's not just all of it. The thing is that these people didn't only judge the works, which Jesus himself invited, but he said, now on the grounds of the works, when you realize the hour of God, and God is not doing these works just to be doing something, because if he was going to do these works just to be doing something, he'd have been doing this for the last 4,000 years and a whole lot more. So you know he's doing this to prove the point, as he did at the time of Moses bringing Israel out of Egypt. So he said, now, these works are pointed to something. They're pointing to what I am doing, the Scripture fulfilled, and the revelation for this hour. Well, of course, they did not believe that. And they're not believing it today. And Brother Branham will be bringing that out as he goes through the message here. Now, so, okay, when you talk then about the seed of discrepancy, and this is the omega of that alpha way back there, Brother Branham, having read this, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. That's a husbandman did that. While he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence has it these tares? Now, I want you to notice something here, that at the appearing of what would be the evidence of wheat, or the wheat coming to a place that is now going to be harvested, you'll find that there's an appearing also with the tares. So that's exactly how you have son of man, son of perdition at this hour. Because, see, it was back there. You can apply this right across the board, or you can just even apply this to one person, Jesus. Although, actually, the wheat is here in the plural. All was twins. Jesus was on the scene, Judas was on the scene. So the servants of the householder came and said, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares? And he said, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said, wilt thou then we go gather them up? And he said, no, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. And, of course, if you rooted up the wheat, it wouldn't mean that the wheat would not be wheat. It would simply mean that the wheat never came to the place of bearing, which it should bear in order to bring forth a harvest. And you got a pretty good example of this, actually, way back in the days of Noah. He didn't uproot the wheat with the tares. He simply separated the wheat from the tares, and the ark took off, bearing the righteous seed, or those who counted righteous before God, and the rest, though not burnt, were drowned. And the Bible speaks of not drowning again and bringing a flood. It's going to bring a fire. So, here is where you see an ultimate where the chaff is consumed, the tares are consumed, and we have the coming forth of a bright new kingdom. So he said, let them both grow together until the harvest. That's where Brother Branham takes his subject this hour. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in the garner. Now, Brother Branham takes the last verse and a phrase of the verse to be his actual text, his subject, what he's going to deal with. And he said, did you notice, gather the tares first and bundle them. Now, reading this, there was something strange came to me while I was sitting up on top of the Catalina Mountains the other night in prayer. And then I thought, where could I gather a word that I could use this for what I wanted to speak on? I went down and found the word discrepancy. So I got the dictionary and looked what the word discrepancy means. Now, you think that he kind of thumbed around and came up with this word discrepancy? Nah, that word came to him. And so he knew it meant something when he thought of this presentation of the gathering of the tares first and the binding of them for the burning before the wheat gets put into the barn or the granary. And so he says, I found this word, discrepancy. And he sort of goes beyond actually what I could find Webster said. He says, sowing discord, which is actually true, as we will find is I point out a couple of verses I didn't point out last night. Being contrary, as Webster says, sowing a discord, something different. And the actual meaning comes out to being contrary or different from the original, from what was there first. And by right of being placed there, now there comes problems with the domain that was granted to the wheat or the seed of God. These rascal tares have come up, and they're causing a tremendous problem. They're sowing discord. They're setting things at variance. They're contrary. They are neither part of the original, nor can even be complementary to, or anyway a granted invitation and intrusion amongst them. Nothing. They are humbugs. Pests. They're tares. Briars. So I thought the text tonight, I'd call it the seed of discrepancy. Why have we got so much discrepancy? Now, it's pretty hard to find a noun that I could call these discrepancators or something. I simply can't do it. Now, you can privatize and you won't find that in the dictionary. And so I might try to make a word up here, but I can't quite do it the seed of discrepancy is an actual seed, and it's a tare, a weed, that is a curse to the wheat. And it's there. It's just as real as the wheat is. And there's not going to be anything done about any one, because Adam and Eve blew it. No matter what the weeds do, how much malcontent they sow, what discord they sow, what voices they intrude with, how they try to guide, how they try to usurp, even to the point of killing you by squeezing you out. Because there's such a thing as weeds destroying plant life. It's done it. The Bible admits it. So he's going to point out who these seed are, where they came from, how they're defined, what it's doing, the danger, the problems they're creating in their final harvest. So if we turn to Matthew 13 and 7, then 22, we'll find something. This man went forth to sow. And lo and behold, it says, some of the seed fell among thorns, tares. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, other things happen. Like some of the wheat had problems because the people were too superficial for it to even get a root in. Some were even more superficial that it hit them and bounced off like wheat on a sidewalk. But down here in verse 7 it says, some of this wheat got amongst thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, If we go to verse 22, it tells what it is. And he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, not for one minute do I believe that this sowing is going into the man that has a place for the word. No, he doesn't have a place for the word. But the picture I'm trying to draw here is this, that these weeds, these tares, the seed of discrepancy, are those that would destroy through overwhelming the wheat. So that lets you know there's not much wheat, but there's a whole lot of tares. That lets you know there's not many sheep, but there's a whole lot of everything but sheep out there. So, all right, Brother Branham says, I'm going to approach it now. And he said, I want you to know that Jesus interpreted what he said here. And so the parable holds good for today, the interpretation holds good for today. In other words, we have a repeat. Because if Alpha is Omega, the same thing has got to come again. Now, it could be there's a codicil, or there's a rider attached, or some little further information. Such as it says, greater works than these shall he do. And then also, the two spirits will not be so obvious. Only the very elect will not be deceived. So, there is a difference. But basically, the two seeds from the two planters, no, absolutely no change. Jesus said, sent the multitude away. He went into the house, and the disciples came and said, declare this the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Is the Son of Man. Now, he was right there, Son of Man, wasn't he? Son of Man was the prophet. And Son of Man was the minister to whom God ministered, absolutely vindicating the presence of the Father, bringing the word through the prophet's son, who would be elevated one day to a new order of priesthood, even Melchizedek. And he would even sit on the throne of his father David. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now watch what Jesus says. The enemy that sowed them, the tares, is the devil. Now, here is where you see serpent seed. But they don't see it. Because they have not been given eyes to see reality, and seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not. Therefore they cannot come, whereas if they were otherwise, they would come by reason of the revelation. Because that's why we are here. We are not here because God vindicated himself to a prophet. And God vindicated himself to the prophet and himself and prophet to us. That's fine. Then he even brought the word. But the word without revelation is a death trap. So we're here this morning not because of what produced a vindicated message, but because of the vindicated message which we see and believe. having heard the truth from the prophet, and say, this is indeed Elijah, and this is indeed the revealed word of God for the hour. This is indeed the word restored. This is in truth the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here now revealing it. We stand with that. And we don't stand with anything else. See? So therefore, seeing we have seen. Hearing we have heard. Thereby believing are now in a position to bring forth fruit. 30, 60, or 100, whatever. Now, the field is the world. So you got people out there. Some are called wheat, and some are called weeds. Now, the wheat is sown by God, and definitely all of the wheat are His children. Now, they're all not alike. And they'll all vary as to stature. They could be a silver dollar like Abraham, or a tin nickel like Lot. They're His children. You get the picture. Now, it says here, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Now, God is dealing in mankind. The devil is dealing in mankind. And if you don't think that's the truth, you go back to the Omega. And the Omega is that when the devil comes up at the end of the 1,000 years, with everybody that's his child, just like him, no better, no worse, they come against the holy city, which is God and his people. Here's one people against another people. And God overcomes. And they're thrown in the lake of fire, and they're burnt up. Now the bundling for the burning of the harvest, which precedes the millennium, is going on now. Because Brother Branham will explain it. So watch, we go along here. Therefore, the devil's seed are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of the world. So shall it be in the end of the world. Now remember, I've told you a little clue about the word fire. Don't ever think you can deal with that outside the end. You can't do it, because there is no burning until the end. And remember, there is a cleansing fire that purifies at least a part of the earth for the bride to come back. And there's a cleansing fire that takes the whole universe, especially the earth, dissolves it. Kills every germ, every foreign life, every foreign seed. Takes it right back to the element. Maybe it's hydrogen. I don't know. Science seems to think it is. I wouldn't know if they know what they're talking about. In fact, they don't know what they're talking about. See, fire. So once that fire starts, you cannot stop it. The processes of judgment, having set in, cannot be stopped until it's all over. The very bride herself is going through the judgment, which is the revealed word of God, and she will always bring her works to the light. These will not do it. Now watch. The Son of Man. Now, what does it say? The sower is the Son of Man. Okay? That's the great prophet Messiah is talking. The one that's vindicated to bring the word of God, fulfill whatever position that is given unto him by God. Now down here, verse 41, the Son of Man. Now every time you see Son of Man, you got to look for the twin, that son of perdition. So all right. Let's go back again, then to verse 39. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. They're going to get there. They're going to pop it. But the tares are the children of the son of perdition. Now, you can't say I'm wrong because we've got twins. Twins are twins. Right? Twin means two. Not one. So if twins are all the way through the Bible, what are you going to do if you only see one person? You start looking around and searching the Word of God through the prophetic revelation, and you will come up with the son of perdition. And if you see the son of perdition, there's a twin out there lurking around. And you better start looking, because this will be the son of man. You understand what I'm saying? This is the vitality of the principles that are laid down in the Word of God. There is nothing that God has ever done, but He keeps on doing when it is the original and the legitimate. You say, what about the fact He let this old King Hezekiah live a few more years? He died, didn't he? Wouldn't matter if he lived 600 more years, he died. God doesn't change His Word for anybody. Doesn't change His mind. He doesn't bend His Word. His Word gets fulfilled. So the Son of Man shall send forth His messengers. And notice what they're going to do at the end time. They're going to gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and they that do iniquity. Send forth His messengers. And He will gather out. Now it already says that the tares are going to be pulled up, they're going to be tied and shackled. And we saw Satan at the end time shackled. We see the church completely shackled. Put his ear to the door, it'll never hear the truth. See? You talk about God giving the Catholic Church a space to repent. The Pope had the chance when he signed that little thing with the Jews. He could have confessed. You know the reason why we treated you as we did? Because we're not Christians. We're make-believers. How in the world could Mary qualify as an intercessor when she's dead in the ground, and you need an intercessor who's a man and alive and on the mercy seat or the throne? Whew, man. Just let you know that we're a sanity. Never met him. Maybe hiding out in the bushes. But don't look for him in the Pope or Mr. Newt or Mr. Bill Clinton or any presidents or elders or general superintendents of the Assemblies of God, anything else. So here now you got the Son of Man. You got the Son of Perdition. I can prove that. Take it right to Scripture. Simple as ABC. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. See, these rules, brother, sister, hold up. Now we see the presence of Almighty God Himself in the return ministry of the Son of Man, Luke 17. Now watch what it says in verse 2nd chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. Now notice what it is. Our gathering together unto Him coming by the prophet's message. Brother Branham declared that to be the actual revelation of that scripture. So that's what it is. So, as the bride comes together in the invisible union, at the descent of Almighty God with the ministry of the Son of Man. So therefore you are being gathered together for the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you will meet in the air and be taken there by God Himself. And that Spirit becomes incarnate to us. And the Word is doing it. The message is doing it. So therefore, when God says this, how He puts it here, He sends His messengers, and it started way back with Luther. Actually, there's seven church ages of it, but it only got really moving in the fifth age. Send His messengers, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend. In other words, there will be a complete setting apart of a bride in every age that's without spot and without wrinkle, according to the word of the hour, and how God is moving in His own sovereignty. Come out from among them. See? So how this other is gathered out, everything that offends, they are separated by the Word. They are separated by that Word, because the Word of God distinctly says, do this, do that, do the other. So they're down here. Now, and they which do iniquity, they know to do better and don't do it, and cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's a great tribulation. Then shall the righteous, that's the seed of God, shine, now that's after the tribulation, shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, which will be presided over by the only begotten Son, the elder brother, the great one, who has a near laid him here. Now, Brother Branham categorically points this to the seventh age, because there's no other age you can point it to. Now, you find that in Revelation 22 and 10. Of course, nobody believes it except people like us. And this is the end of the revelation. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So between Revelation 10 and 4 and Revelation 22 and 10, the seals have been opened, the thunders have thundered, all the mysteries have been wound up and made clear. There is nothing left to go once that book is open. And at that time, a weed is a weed is a weed is a weed, and a wheat is a wheat is a wheat is a wheat. They're no longer intermingled. See? Wickedness has been entirely eliminated, and unrighteousness and unholiness and injustice, all of the, and filth has been entirely eliminated from the midst of the bride by the Word, which is the sword. Brother Branham felt in his hand the sword. The Word of God come down. And He is the last messenger in the Son of Man ministry, where the ministry came to Him with greater force and effect than even Jesus was upon earth. Absolutely. Separated the bride. And in the waters of separation is where He dressed her. Now remember, Brother Branham said he wants to find a bride of such character who will stand still and listen to the Word. And there in the waters of separation be dressed. So we have this end time picture here. Now notice, as we take this back in history, and you can take it right back to the Garden of Eden where it started, you will notice that at the time of Noah, there was not a true separation of wheat from tare in its finality. No. Because the wrong seed came over in the ark. In fact, Noah was the only perfectly genetically perfect human being. Nobody else had it. his wife and the three boys and their wives, no wheat. Now then, notice again, at the time of Sodom, there was a little fire there, and there was a separation. But the righteous seed at that time gives you a good picture of Abraham and his wife Sarah, who were true bride, and who were to bring forth, due to their Christian journey and the final end, the son promised in flesh. And you notice at that time, Abraham and Sarah. Now she was driven to it. Abraham was not. But she was driven to the place I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you right over here to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to take you to the fourth chapter. And in the fourth chapter it says, there's going to come a time which is described in the book of Romans as the assurance, the fullness of assurance, that it took Abraham 25 years to get. Was this why Brother Branham said the bride could be here for 25 years? Because she hasn't done with, and it hasn't done with her, what has come by this word. So after 25 years, Abraham comes to the full assurance of faith. And it was live, die, sink, swim. He didn't give her it. He knew. And even though God required his son as an offering, he still didn't care. He knew. See, he was ready for the resurrection. Now, he wasn't ready for the resurrection until the promised son came and had produced the life which we could correspond with the life of Jesus Christ, which would be that great Son of Man life. And then, of course, he was ready to believe and know that the resurrection would set in. Now, you got to see the same thing today. Once you see the Son of Man ministry, there is no way the resurrection is not coming. Now, look what it says down here, that we are going to grow and come to the unity of faith, verse 15, even of the knowledge of the Son of God. We're really going to know at the end time who really the Son of God is. Isn't that strange? The Son of God is the Son of God is the Son of God. Not God the Son, God the Son, God the Son. It's the Son of God. So God is the Son. We're also going to know at the same time how that was Son of Man, Son of God, now Son of Man, again through the Holy Spirit, designated the Son of God. Now it says here that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning crafts whereby the lying way deceived, but holding the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Now I'm telling you here, at the time of the fire at Sodom, Abraham, after 25 years, he believed. Now, we can type him as, well, you type him, many do as the father, type him as God, but you can also type him, because Sarah's the bride, you can type him as the bridegroom. Now, you notice that he hasn't wavered. He got waylaid by Sarah, inviting him to have the young girl Hagar and have a son by him, which was a tear. And boy, if that wasn't a seed of discrepancy, I want to know what was. But anyway, you'll notice the picture here that Abraham and Sarah were completely isolated by the word. Lot was plucked out by the fact he wasn't part of the word of promise. So, all right. Then shall the righteous, according to Malachi 4, with the Son of Righteousness rising and healing, will go into the millennium. Now he said, that's Jesus giving the interpretation of the parable, himself doing it. Therefore we know then what the interpretation means. He said, all right, he said, there's no problem here. You know what the interpretation is, but he's got his little rapier thrust here, and he's going to let them know that they don't have a clue to what that parable and its revelation or interpretation really is. Because they're just going to read, yeah, that's right. Hold it. You are not reading it according to understanding. Let me by vindication tell you. Oh, come on. You can't fool an old timer like me full of the Holy Ghost with all this jazz about a vindication. Well, don't you believe Deuteronomy 18? Oh, sure, but that's not today. Hey, shucks, man, we got the Bible. And I got the Holy Ghost. And they're going to fall down and kiss the Pope's toe. How much Holy Ghost is that? I'm getting enough guts to bite it off. Yes, it's true. Daniel would have. We wouldn't even bow down. Peter would have taken a sword and finished it. That's Jesus giving the interpretation of the parable himself. Therefore, we know then what the interpretation means. And now as we approach the sowing of the seed and the reaping, now he interprets it. And then I believe that Jesus was speaking this parable in his day, but was meaning it to be at the end of the world or the end of the age, which is this day. Now, the prophet who said this has already said, look, I better watch even my illustrations, lest I take you off one word. Then is this thus saith the Lord or not? I see, there you are. See, that's what you can't believe in William Branham, prophet of God, and not hear what I'm saying and agree with it? Come on. You're just pretending you're doing it. Before it's over, I'm going to see all these preachers out there doing what they're doing now and doing it more. And I'm going to get out of here by the grace of God, either by death or by rapture, because I don't intend to stick around. I'm not one of them. No way, shape, or form, this word has made a complete split, and that's the end of it. Now, he said, he was speaking this parable for the end of the world, the end of the age, which is this day. Well, if that isn't true, then what do you do with Malachi 4? What do you do with the scripture? Say, well, I don't think this is that age, Brother Bale. There's another age coming. Well, you think what you want. The thing is, you to prove it. You got to give me some vindication. Because as I said, this book doesn't prove this book. I can read this book backward and forward and nothing comes out of it. But you let God in his day, who wrote this book, then you will watch that God is actually in print. And a living spirit does exactly what the body is, which is print. Because the body has to follow the spirit, the real man. We're talking about God, not little peons like you and me. So, Brother Branham has thus saith the Lord. This is for this hour. I ask you a question. How many people do you think believe it? I believe this little text tonight is a very appropriate this hour we're living in, because Jesus thinks he said here the gathering would be at the end of this world. That's when the end would be, the end of the world. The gathering wheat, gathering the tares, and the burning them. You see, the wheat doesn't get burned. And to take the wheat into the kingdom. And I believe it was this way. What he believed, I mean, was this way. According to him, it hasn't happened. It's for now. And that's the way it is. The Alpha word that had an application back there now has the full application in this particular hour, just the same as Matthew 12, was completely set forth in the body and the ministry of God in that body in Matthew 12, and is to come in this hour through a prophet, the Son of Man revealed, and at the same time the son of perdition. You've got the head wheat and the head tare. Absolutely. In this hour. You say, how do you mean? I can tell you that flat. If God isn't weak, then we're not weak. God's word, we're word. Brother Branham brings that out very, very much here. Now, go to the sixth paragraph. And another scripture, now watch. And another scripture leads me to believe this way, I have written down here, is Matthew 24:24, where it said that talking about the seed of discrepancy. Now, seed of discrepancy. Jesus said the two would be so close together till it would deceive the very elected, if it were possible, almost exactly the same. Now, what's he talking about? Prophets. He's talking about men who come on the scene with signs. One man comes with, thus saith the Lord, to lead you to God. The other man comes on the scene with no thus saith the Lord, but the scripture. And he's got all kinds of signs. And he says, bless God, let me tell you, Mark chapter 16 has never been out of vogue. Sends us forth to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to speak in tongues. Matthew 28 has never been out of vogue. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he stacks himself against the true prophet of God. Janus and Jambres did that. Corydon and Byron did it. And now you've got the true seed of discrepancy. You've got discord. You've got voices in the air. What will the people listen to? Will they listen to the word? No, they won't listen to the word. Well, say, just a minute. They are listening to the word. Too late, the life has gone out of it. Too late. Too late. This is the hour of the prophet, the eagle. The face of the man is actually gone. Remember the picture? Was the outer man perishing? Your brother Branham looked like a death's head over there. What a horrible looking picture. And back there is a youthful man, the inner man, coming out. Well, let me tell you flat. This old system is nothing but a death's head anymore. And these false prophets, and these old preachers, they're dying, going into the second death, and taking people with them. And I'm going to tell you, when Brother Branham stood up and preached sermons like this, boy, did he gather out all things offensive from the midst of the bride to get a pure bride to go into the kingdom and shine as the sun for the glory of God. Now, he's talking then, therefore, Matthew 24:24, and he doesn't really read it. Now, Matthew 24:24, of course, tells you about beware of these false prophets who would deceive the very elect if it were possible. So, therefore, the very elect will be above the elect, which in my books are the bride to be caught away, or those in the very last day to come and hear this last day message. There shall arise false Christs and even false prophets. Show great signs and wonders, so much apostles they'll deceive the very elect. That is absolutely Deuteronomy chapter 13, based on Deuteronomy chapter 18. And Brother Branham said, every time you see a twin, one's a phony. And right now, you've got the fact here of the presence of Almighty God. That's why I do not like people trying to tell me that this word is coming. But it will be the sign of thy coming. They didn't even know he's going to die and go away and come. What is the sign of your presence? And what sign are you going to give us now concerning the fact that you are here, this thing, so that we know positively we can enter in and take over? Well, he said, set him down. He said, that's a long way down the road. But he didn't deny the sign of his presence. And the sign of his presence when the kingdom is going to take over is the Son of Man ministry, God himself doing it through a prophet. Because Jesus never ever did it. So don't anybody tell me he did. Because he said he didn't, and I'm going to believe him. He said he didn't, he didn't. Amen. If Brother Branham said I was just somebody standing near, just a voice that he could use, that's all there is to it. He didn't do it. And that's perfectly scriptural. But you can't tell people that. They're not going to listen. Even the so-called Branhamites don't listen. The guy down in Jeffersonville calls the presence garbage. Yeah, I'm not lying to you. Go and ask it. BBL preaches garbage. That's garbage. Garbage is going to lead us to the millennium. God have pity on that man. The fact that he abused Sister Branham twice in a row verbally until she fell lower than a snake's belly shows he hasn't got a word for the bride. I got a word from him. Get out of my sight. Don't come near me. You say, you're tough? I'm not judging the guy. I can give you the record. And I'll stand before the white throne because I am before it. See the discrepancy. Now, Matthew 24 is based upon Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing, but inside they're ravening wolves. Now, the point of the matter is they come with signs and wonders that are legitimate. They come like a Balaam. They come just like Oral Roberts and the rest of them. Now he got another one on the scene. And if he's the God, I'll eat my hat. Because he had nine gods. So the assemblies of God set him down and he realized he made an error. Now he blows on them and they fall over. He stopped that because I think they had garlic breath or something. I don't know. So that didn't look good. That's the devil. He told me. Said, Brother Bell, it's a wrong spirit. Brother Branham, here's your picture, pillar of fire. Did you not tell me it was the wrong spirit? See, you got the white throne. I don't have a promise. The righteous will not be blown away. Taken away. That's us. You have to worry. You have to worry what you say. As long as you tell the truth. I'm not trying to malign somebody. I'm just telling you. Hey, look. You better sharpen up and know what's going on. See, I'm the guy with no love. Yeah? How come Sister Branham loved me? I'd like to know. I'm the only preacher she trusted before she died. Pillar of fire is right there in the picture. I'll stand before it. I have no problems. But I do have problems. And I'm proving this message. These tares bug me. William Branham made a statement about a certain preacher. He said, Lee, it's men like him that keep my true ministry from coming out. What did the tares do? They got in the way of the wheat. They held it back. Held it, tried to keep it from maturing. Tried to keep the truth from coming out. Tried to keep them being living epistles, read and known of all men. It had one purpose in mind, to pervert the way of the righteous, to throw a stumbling block. Doesn't the Bible say that? Balaam threw a stumbling block. Tares. How do you think those businessmen felt? Why, the clergy can't do it the fivefold. We're taking over. Tares. Didn't God condemn people from trying to take over ministries? Didn't he burn them up to show his displeasure? Didn't he condemn them? Now, what are these guys so bold and bright about? People think I'm bold and bright. I am very mouthy and very bold that way, but I got truth to back me up. Even if it is cold or red hot truth, it is still truth. If it isn't truth that's even going to do anybody good, it is still truth. Maybe I'm so rotten at bringing it forth and so hard that what I say though is the truth doesn't do what the truth should do because I'm holding it back. It's still the truth. Funny, I get all these phone calls and letters that tell me how people's lives are being changed just like they're born again. So I'm not going to worry too much about it. Now, something is not right in this earth. tells you that. The original plan is interrupted. Instead of the seed of God covering the earth, we got all these other seeds out there. They're doing their best to shove out the seed of God, to cut it off at the roots, to destroy it, to keep it from going on to maturity. And you'll notice at the end, Satan and his gang literally try to take over. Yeah. So I've been reading this thing very accurately. Now, hey, let's look at these people that come to you as ravening wolves inwardly. They're inner man. But they're smart. They're like sheep. They're swallowed. 2 Corinthians, where the bride starts her trouble by believing the wrong word. It has to be somebody that has a ministry that is not thus saith the Lord, but is very great in magnitude of the works it performs. Now, what did Paul say in the first book of 1 Corinthians? What were these people doing? Why, he said, I hear that there's divisions among you, and I believe it. One says, I'm of Paul. That's fine. He's perfectly vindicated, thus the Lord. I'm of Apollos. Hold it. No. You can't follow Apollos. I don't care if he's a true seed of God or anything else. He does not have the legitimate, definitive word that Paul has. So therefore, if you are following Apollos, you would have to be following Apollos 100% as he 100% follows Paul. Because Paul was the demonstrated, vindicated prophet, apostle to the Gentiles. And forget it. This is why I can't understand Rome. You know Rome took? Peter. Now, I'm of Cephas. I'm of Peter. Do you think for one minute that Peter didn't have a great ministry? He wasn't vindicated to bring the word to the Gentiles. He opened the door. And then somebody says, well, bless God, I'm a Christ. And the majority are saying that right now. I got the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues, and I'm of Christ. Now, if they were of Christ, they would have recognized Paul. If they were of Christ, they would recognize Brother Branham. So, oh my goodness me. We have a terrible situation here that I don't like. Now, it tells you, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed. Hogwash, he's transformed, he's transmuted. That word should not be transformed. The word transformed is in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. So, if you want to go there, you can do it. And it says, be not conformed to this world, fashioned after it, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. But over here, there's a transmutation. These stinking, rotten, howling, miserable, murderous wolves have suddenly made themselves sheep. Remember the old teaching of transmutation? Back in the Dark Ages or some ages of Europe, when little Gesundheit was making straw into gold, what was her name? It wasn't Hansel and Gretel, it doesn't matter. They really had the idea that you could turn tin into gold by alchemy. Never could. So these guys are guilty of a transmutation. The pig is no longer grunting. He's going, bah, bah, bah. And the dog is no longer barking, licking your hand with his tongue, just waiting to get it right off to the elbow. I'm telling you the truth. Transmutation. Now, you know what a mutation is? Something went wrong. I believe in mutation. You bet your sweet life. Things have been going wrong ever since the first mess in the garden. So these are transmuters, and they've been transmuted. They haven't been transformed. And Peter proves it because he said the pig goes back to the wallow. It stops going, bah, bah. It goes back, oink, oink. And the dog to its vomit. The dog to its vomit. Do you think Rome, with her repentance, has left her vomit? And it's a very, very nasty type from what has been feeding on all these years. Merciful heavens. So, all right. He says, and another scripture leads me to believe this way. This is the end time. And this seed of discrepancies here. There's a company of transmuted people because the tear looks like the wheat as it comes up. Can't tell them apart unless you're an expert. Got to wait till the harvest time. Their roots are intertwined. Couple of twins there. Two branches living off the same tree, and one's only been grafted in. Doesn't belong. Living on the life. They're all anointed. Everything looks good. But a prophet is a man who either brings the word original, or he must, or as a foreteller, or he determines the revelation by being a foreteller. So now here at the end, you got a genuine prophet. So all you need is one. And you got a bunch of other prophets that say, hey, we never left the Word. We always had the Word. What was William Branham? Well, William Branham blew it. Ha ha. So did Jesus. If Jesus had to come and said, listen, you people, I am an example. Now, I am going to show you, and you will do it. Hoo hoo. You talk about popularity. And they came to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, you're just too mean to our ladies. Why don't you teach them about gifts? Because we believe you are here as an example. And that example is to stand out and teach us these things because you have a little insight and a way with God. In fact, they detected, like I did, that Brother Branham must have had something like Balaam. But he sure wasn't the Balaam. And I said, Brother Branham, you know, Balaam really had a way with God that he could get next to God and get those answers. He said, sure. He took up his parable. I take up mine, but I ain't going to tell you what it is. I wouldn't ask him anyway. See, you can be so close, like a razor blade, and you can be wrong. Because they are wrong. It tells you this, see? And we understand it. All right. In another place in the scripture, where it is written that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Now, that's very true. So this brings us to the question, the scripture being as it is, something's going to happen at the end time in the realm of prophets, which entails the word, that is going to be terribly, terribly dangerous. And everybody's going to get fooled, but a very few. Now, so therefore, we come to this place. Never mind Brother Branham. Just go back to the word. Matthew 24:24. We have to come to this place that without some help, granted either from within or outside the wheat could not tell any difference between itself and the tares, and be fooled into believing a tare is a wheat. Yeah. A real brother. Huh? And they are two absolutely different seeds, especially in the light of where the tares go and where the wheat goes. In fact, I can go closer, which Brother Branham will bring out, and that is the wheat snuggles within the chaff, which is burnt. Like Israel down in Egypt, nurtured, even though against their will, they were nurtured. And they needed the Egyptians, and God said, never fuss with them because they gave you refuge, even though they treated you badly. And now the chaff today is also giving us refuge in that certain respect. That was the last stage where the life was till it went into the wheat. And now it's closer than just wheat and tare looking alike. It is now a part of the church in the last age out of which we come, and we come out of it. Therefore, the renewing of our minds by repentance is the most important thing we can possibly have, because now we must get on the trail of the Word in order to leave the trail of the serpent. The trail of the Word is a vindicated Word. The trail of the serpent is signs and wonders, or argument, or lives, or fruit, to put you on a perverted Word. Because, believe me, Cain was a mutation. Satan mutates. Said another place, then, it falls on the just and the unjust, which is very true. This is a scripture whereby we know that God can anoint the wheat and the tares. And this could signify that identity by growth is not proof of the kind of seed. Because when the rain falls, it brings forth a growth. And in that growth, you would say, well, this tare, it can't be a tare. No way. I can see fruit there, I can see love there, I can see everything there, and all I can see on you, as one man said about Brother Branham, ranting and raving, who could stand it? Another man says that one who judged everybody finally got judged. Hallelujah, glory to God, we got him dead, now the way that's come. I don't believe those people even believe that Jesus cleansed the temple with thongs. I've heard them say, Jesus did not pick up thongs and really blast them. No, he just rattled his whip and said a few words. Hogwash in my books. That's the same as the Hindu saying the harlot was an innkeeper instead of a prostitute. Hogwash. She was a prostitute, and Irenaeus said so. Hey, you catch what I'm preaching? These guys will say and do anything. And we'll sit back and say, oh, look at the fruit. Oh, look at the growth. Look at this. Oh, 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 oh. I'm going to tell you, these Church of Christ guys, they've got to be serpent seed, because if they say the works of the, attribute to the Satan, the works of Jesus, and say the devil heals and God doesn't do it, that is absolutely the people who hate God. They hate him because the Bible says so. And you watch how they can walk in love. Make you want to change and say, hey, maybe I better give up some of these kind of rabid doctrines that set me upon. I believe in serpent seed. I do not believe you speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. I do not believe there is an eternal hell. And I believe in predestination to the point where God knew every clean how many times he bat his eyeballs. And I'm a nut. And if it weren't for the nuts, the world would fall apart. Now, Brother Branham is going to explain this whole thing. And you know how they're going to receive it? We never said such things couldn't happen. But they don't get the gist. They don't get the real, genuine gist that the devil is using actual gifts so the gifts don't count. Now, remember my experience of ever coming for amongst the my first experience of ever coming amongst the Pentecostal people. I was in Mishawaka, Indiana. It was a great convention, a hall about like this, where the North and South had come together because of those days of segregation. They had to meet way up there in the North. There were two great orders, the Pentecostal brethren. That'd be Trinity and Oneness, I guess, or maybe the United Pentecostal and another group of Oneness. I had never heard of them or met them before. The first time I ever heard speaking in tongues. And at the end of the row, at the end of the convention, me being not a member among them, just a young Baptist minister, I sat back in the back. And I remember the first time I heard anyone speak in tongues, I didn't even know what it was all about. And then these two men mainly sat up in the front. One would speak in tongues, the other interpret what the man said. Well, I just started studying my Bible as hard as I could. There then I found that was scriptural. That's exactly what the scripture said the Holy Ghost would do. All about a day after that night my heart was so stirred I slept in the cornfield. I didn't have enough money to get a bed, so I had enough money just to go on to get home on to get some donuts, a couple of days old, or some rolls for my breakfast. I was welcome to eat with them, but I didn't have any money to put in. In those days with depression, 1933, pretty hard going, so I thought, well, how? I don't want to eat with them, but I want to know what it is they've got. They've got something that I haven't got. So that morning they said to me, all ministers come to the platform, identify yourself, who you are, where you're from. Well, I just said William Branham, Evangelist, Jeffersonville, and sat down. Well, at that time, I was the youngest minister on the platform, and the next day they called me to the platform to speak, and after I spoke, we had a great time, and then I began to meet different people inviting me to their churches. He had a whole itinerary lined up. After that, I thought, if I could only get where these two main men were that spoke in tongues and interpreted, that was burning up in my heart. I wanted it so bad. Well, as I've told you, at the beginning, a little gift that you pull over, in other words, he uses at any time he wants to. You know, gifts and callings are without repentance. You have them all your life. See, you're born with them. You think Pentecost believe that? They don't believe that. They think if you're born with them, you've got to be some kind of a voodoo artist or spiritist. They're born with them. You're born a certain way. Certainly you'd have to be. You know? It's in nature. If they're gifts of God. So I always, since I was a little bitty baby, it always happened. People who knew me all my life, they know it's true. Well, I thought, I don't know what it was then, called a division, I don't know what it was, but I thought if I could ever talk to them, well, the spirit that was in the building felt like it really was the Spirit of God. So I got to talk to one of them, asked him a few questions, and he was a real genuine Christian. There was no doubt about that. The man was a real believer, and the next man, when I talked to him, if I ever met a hypocrite, that was one of them. That man was actually, his wife was a blonde-headed woman, he had children, two children by a black-headed woman, a brunette. And I thought, well, now what? Here it is. I'm all mixed up. Now, didn't I tell you the tares were there to cause you problems? Take you right off the word. That can't be a God. I saw him do so-and-so. Well, David couldn't be a God. I saw him. Now what he did, he took this other man's wife. Now the Jews are making the sleaze bag. Who are in Palestine as children of God? David's son must sit on the throne or they don't believe in Messiah. Now they're calling him a sleaze bag. Now they're confessing. Oh, man. I have so much fun with this, eh? It just thrills me to know these guys all confessing, you know, all repenting, revising. They're revisionists, and God knows what else these rascals are. They're all wrong because they're not going to bring it to the light. Now look, if taking this word by word isn't bringing everything in our life to the light, I don't know what is, because I'm doing my best before God to get the insights here and to really not exaggerate, no, but to aggrandize the critical truth that these people did not get, and they will never get. And the guy's running amongst us. Like the one guy said, well, you know, prophets make mistakes, and I'm just watching Brother Branham. He said he believes him. But he said, I just go to my Bible. And he said, see, the Branham, he's a liar. He's going to dress the bride. Well, he's a liar. That poor guy, he needs to die before very long. I wouldn't be in his boots on Judgment Day. He's not just a pain in the neck for the bride, the wheat. He's so small-time tiddlywink. I can't figure out anybody that names the name of William Branham, even a drunk, would fall for that kind of junk. They drink out of cesspools. When the Italian fascists wanted to destroy people, they made them drink spit out of a spittoon full of saliva. These people love it. You don't even have a right to mention William Branham's name. They're like Israel mentioning Moses, 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 Moses. Didn't know the first thing about Moses. Today they say Jesus, Jesus, Paul, Paul. Don't know the first thing about him. If they did, they wouldn't have turned down the prophet. And I thought, well, now what? Here it is. I'm all mixed up. The seed of discrepancy has discrepicated me. Sent in the discord. I don't know which way to think. My balls are going in two different directions. I'm a fundamentalist. It must be the word or it isn't right. And here's that spirit. One rang out according to all I know genuine. And the other one was no good at all. And the spirit falling on both of them. How can that be? Had me puzzled. It's about time, eh? Yeah, about time. It's a good place to start next time, I would suggest. You know, there's a lot of sameness to these messages. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have a very crucial condition in your life, you can begin to get a lot of help through cleaning up your system by going to what they call a mono diet. Now, you can make your mono diet pears and eat pears three times a day for 2 or 3 weeks. Do your world of good. Help you clean out, clean your system, everything out. Or you can go by using a mono diet. This morning we had nothing but wheat that we cooked, and that was great. Next morning, same thing. Next morning, same thing. About 3 weeks, same thing. At noon, we decided to have steamed cauliflower and broccoli. A little bit of butter, because that's fine. Salt and pepper, that's fine. 3 weeks, we had cauliflower and broccoli, and maybe something else that's cruciferous, got a lot of sulfur. I'd throw the cabbage in, and some Brussels sprouts. Ooh. I like them when they're sweet and nice, but when they get so tough and mean, I don't like them. But when they're sweet and nice, I'm okay. Then for night, you decide that you'll have brown rice and beans. Perfect protein. We have that. I don't care which way you turn it. You could have fruit in the morning. It's not. That's a mono diet. And a mono diet will clean you out and build you up. Because there aren't a lot of other things there interfering and causing contradictions within your body. So I suggest a mono word diet. Forget what all these guys are preaching out there and all the tapes you can get and all the sermons you can get. Except men like Spurgeon. Those sermons on conduct and Christian growth never have nor ever will change by William Branham or God himself, because those men were genuinely Puritans in my knowledge and full of the Holy Ghost. And when they said, thou shalt not steal, they meant, thou shalt not steal. And one day Myers, Brother F.B. Myers, was down in South Africa, and there he was preaching. And a young man sat in the gallery and said to him, he said, young man, you stole £3.5 from your boss. It's bothering you. You better pay it back. So I thought only Brother Branham did it. Hey, Brother Branham was the prophet for this hour that had a continuous ministry in it. This was an ordinary man. He had a gift of knowledge suddenly. He knew something. And I can read you stories where it happened many, many places where these men suddenly knew. I've had it many, many times. See? Life as to be lived by a Christian has never changed. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You won't even want your neighbor's wife or anybody's wife or anybody else but your own wife. You'll honor God. You'll tithe. You'll work. You'll take care of your family. You'll be nice to your wife because she's the weaker vessel. And when she tries to be the stronger vessel, something must be done in the right scripture way that she begins to understand. She's a Christian, she will. So she doesn't wear the pants. The man is supposed to wear the pants, woman's supposed to let her hair grow long, wear skirts. Conduct has never changed, brother, sister. That's where Brother Branham said, women don't cut your hair. Don't worry, that pertains to a man. And they began wearing what pertained to a man, and pretty soon they're acting like men. Uh-huh, oh yes. You bet. Their hair was already bald before they start smoking cigarettes. Right around that time, they're going to dress like men. But they still hate home. There was a few of these fakeroonies like Gertrude Stein and some of these others. And some men, they weren't men, thought they were, messing things up. But we've seen a sex change today, brother, sister. Oh, that couldn't happen. Oh, it couldn't start there. But it did start there, because everything starts when man gets off the Word. And the minute you get off a certain word, you go that direction. Huh? Don't kid yourself. Brother, sister, we have a wisdom from God himself, from the prophet. I'm a mono-word man. Mr. Shelley and these guys may go to the Bible and say, well, my absolute is here, and they don't even know what they're talking about. They wouldn't admit to a false prophet. Why? Because they are one. I go right to Brother Branham. I say, hey, man, look what he said. It's right where he said it. And look, man, I can even spot him. You know something? When the Word of God really comes revealed and you're getting a hold of it, you can look in this mirror and you'll see what manner of person you are. And if you look in and you cannot tell, the Holy Ghost is missing, the Word is missing. Because this discerns the thoughts and intents of men's heart, and Brother Branham proved it. Yes, my brother, sister, listen. Conduct has never changed. The doctrine has never changed. It's been exploited and hurt. And when it comes to the doctrine, the truth of the Word of God, you've got to have a vindicated prophet. There's things that are a little peculiar at times, but you get the drift. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time we spent together going into your Word, Lord, which is rich with truth. Or even though there's repetition here, we know Paul said it's not only harmless to repeat, but it's necessary. And we know that's a first real rule of pedagogy, repetition, 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 sir. It's the rule of success. Practice and practice and practice. It's a rule, Lord, of getting to the top. Perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. And we know, Lord, there's only one thing that's going to count, and that to bring life is this message. Because Brother Branham said there's no life outside of this message. Therefore, let this message come into our minds this morning and down by way of the Spirit, right to the soul, and come to grips, anchor there, then begin to come back in a confession of faith, an assurance of faith, and a walk that is absolutely from the Word, a love that is not hypocritical, but a love that is genuine and true. All these things, Lord, we want from this message in a reality. And we know we are going to have it because your word has promised it. We are looking, therefore, Father, for the word to fulfill itself, even as it must be. And you sent your messengers to help us. And now you remove far from us the influence of these who would be disturbing to us, the weeds that would cut our growth back. Now they can't cut our growth back. We're going to grow right up into Christ, right to the very head, and then be taken up to meet him in the air. What a marvelous thing to know that this is happening now, which could not happen before. It was said it was going to happen, but now it has happened. And there will be a people, Lord, who will be standing here, and without one heartbeat miss or one breath or twinkle of the eye, are going to march towards Zion by way of the wedding supper in the millennium. So we are happy this morning to count ourselves by grace a part of the bride, a part of the company, a part of the friendship of the prophet William Branham, who revealed things to us, and we believe them and stand with them. And we're grateful, Lord, it was your word that did it. That you yourself, Lord, brought to pass your own word in full interpretation by manifestation. How can we doubt? There is no way we can doubt, because it has been proven and shown by you. Heal the sick among us, we pray, Lord, help us all to walk the straight and narrow in a way we haven't walked before. Not for the sake of of anything that is judgmental, as though that we are standing before people to be judged, though that is truth, but because of the grace, the Spirit that has been committed to us, we walk in the natural order of the sons of God. Grant this to us, we pray, and unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, be power and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you.